Okay, good morning, everyone. 诸位菩萨，大家好。 As everybody knows, today's topic. Yeah. Were you expecting me to fly in? Fly onto my seat. Unfortunately, my kung fu is not that good. I can't fly yet. 大家都晓得今天的题目吗？ 不知道有没有在等着我飞进来？我的功夫还不够，还不到能飞的程度。Actually, there are stories from the Buddhist sutras, the early sutras. You have stories of arhats, liberated people. When it was time to give a Dharma talk, because of the situation, you know, it just so happens in one situation, an arhat was invited to give a talk, and the platform was very high, way over his head, maybe 20 feet high. It was a kind of a trick. The people didn't think this monk at the time was worthy of giving a Dharma talk. So they made this platform so high that he couldn't get to it. You know, if you tried to jump, you couldn't jump. There's no way to climb. And they thought they tricked him. But they didn't know that this monk was an arhat. And so when he came in, he flew onto the seat.在佛经里面有一些故事，有一些阿罗汉，阿罗汉就是一个已经得解脱的一个修行者。那有一次，他要讲开示，那他的对象那些人不相信这位比丘，这位法师可以讲开示。 他们以为他没有能力，他的修行不够啊，所以想骗他一下，或者开他的玩笑，所以他们盖，叫做法坛嘛，就是盖他要坐的位置，把它盖得很高啊，20尺，就是高到爬不上来也爬不上去。 然后呢，他进场的时候，他是飞进来，用飞的，飞到他的位置上去，然后再讲开始。So I won't be flying today, and I don't think we'll be able to learn how to fly during this Dharma talk. But for sure, you will learn some kung fu. Do you want to learn? Yeah. Quite a few of you already know kung fu in the audience. Maybe studied 20 years or more. Anybody study 20 years or more? Any kind of martial art? Yeah, of course, we have some teachers. This is wonderful. So, I'm not sure what kind of kung fu just yet, but you will learn a kind of kung fu. And potentially the highest kind of kung fu, yeah? All in this short Dharma talk. Sound exciting? Okay. 所以呢，今天大概我们学不会飞功啊，好像叫做神足通的一部分就是能够飞。今天大概是学不会的。 但是没有关系，我们今天会学到一种功夫，还不确定是哪一种，但是我们会学到一种功夫，也会学到最高的一种功夫。我们就用今天的开始来学一学，用一用。 想学吗 ？OK。先从我们印象中的功夫开始讲。其实中文的翻译好像我们不用功夫这两个字，我们是用武功。Maybe I should start with English. Okay. So, first, I'd like to talk about our common idea of martial arts. Now, what is our, most people's impression of martial arts? What are they for? And what can you learn from the martial arts? 所以呢，我们翻译，这场开始的翻译，我们用武功这两个字。一般好像用武术，对不对？现在是用武术，或者是还有什么拳法，也是另外一种。但是武术它有别的意思啊，武术比较是一个现代的比较标准化的一种武功，叫做武术。那武功的意思是比较广啊，所以选武功这个字。So in English and Chinese, the translation is, it's a bit different, it has a different meaning in different context. But the general meaning is using martial activity. Martial meaning movements and practices which are used in a kind of combat. You can call it combat for now.所以武功的意思就是说，在今天的一个开始里面，武功是代表用身体的动作，或是用心理的身心来combat， 可以说对打，也可以说对应。So our common idea of martial arts, what do you think of when you hear the word martial arts? What's the first idea that comes to your mind? Maybe people flying through the air, maybe the Karate Kid. People saw the Karate Kid, yeah. Or what else do we think of? Shaolin Temple, yeah? Shaolin monks, you know, doing backflips and flying kicks and all these things. What else?Jackie Chan, Jet Li, all these movies, yeah? We may have the first impression is, wow, people flying through the air doing spinning kicks and fighting. and maybe that impression is just, well, martial arts is punching and kicking and screaming and violence. Yeah? A lot of the movies these days, the martial arts movies, it's, wow, very violent.All about who killed whose father and who's going to then kill whose family and all this vengeance, blood flying everywhere, martial arts. And this may be our common impression. And maybe if you have experience in street fights or you've seen street fights, people who are good at martial arts, maybe some go looking for fights, looking for challenges. And then it's just all about who can win.Who can overcome the other person. This could be your impression of martial arts. 所以呢，想到武功，或者是武术，或者是打拳，想到的时候，会有什么印象？心中会有什么印象？可能会想到电影，什么电影？Jackie Chan 的中文名字叫什么？成龙啊。Jet Li 是李连杰。当然有这个李小龙 ,Bruce Lee。可能会想到他们的电影。想到电影就是电影的画面就是人啊做一些很厉害的拳法打拳啊或是踢脚啊。然后飞来飞去啊，跳来跳去啊，雪啊，到处都是雪、啊，很暴力。大部分的电影是很暴力的。然后呢，可能如果你有一些在street fight to Nathanael. Huh? 街头上，我是马路上的，就是打架。如果你有很多的经验，你可能看到一些很厉害的人，就会去找他的对手，去找人试他自己的功夫，还有试别人的功夫，然后对打。最近我上YouTube，我在找一些太极拳的东西，你会找到一些就是。 真实的打架的影片，有这种啊，就是两个人在那边踢脚啊、打拳啊、打来打去啊，好像就是很暴力。Also, I wonder if you have the impression that martial arts is all about being macho. The impression is, oh, martial arts is being macho. Macho, how do you explain that? What's this? Kind of, wow, this is very cool. Cool to be fighting. The bigger the muscles we have, the higher we can kick, the number of boards that we can break. You know, the more boards we can break, the better. Kind of just macho, showing off skill, showing off our moves, and trying to get girls with martial arts. Or guys. Possible. Maybe some people go to study martial arts to find a date, find a partner. They start by fighting and they end up hugging and kissing. It's possible. 那有可能想到武功，会想到macho要怎么翻译啊？ Macho. Huh? 男子气概，是吗？这样可以听懂哈。 意思就是说，练武功的人可能就是为了他的肌肉越大越好，或是为了他能够把好多片的木头打碎，或者是呢，能够打败的人越多越好，就是让大家看到他很厉害，或是让女孩子，或是男孩子看到那个人哇很厉害，整个身体。 很强壮，动作很美，然后呢，可能有的人去练武功是为了找配偶，为了找练功的配偶，一开始是对打，到最后是互相抱着。So possible we may have this impression if all we see is just movies, or if we just have experience seeing people fight on the street, or seeing competition, martial arts competition. A lot of the competitions are really just about winning, yeah? On the surface, it seems that you compete to win. And when you win, you get a big trophy. And when you get trophies, then you could fill your school or fill your house with trophies. And everybody can see, wow, look at all these trophies. And then the bigger your belt, the better. The more stripes, the better. Or the prettier the color of the clothing, that means, you know, the better the master. Possible we have that impression. 有可能我们的印象中，就是说这些武功，尤其是比赛，武功的一些比赛，就是为了要表现自己，能够赢，就会有一个什么。 叫做 trophy， 叫做什么牌？奖品？奖什么？奖杯呀，就像一个 cup， 对不对？你得到的奖杯越多越好，就可以摆在你的功夫的学校里面让大家看。然后呢，衣服穿得越亮啊，表示你的功夫越高。 或是你的袋子越大，或是有袋子上面的什么什么东西呀，越多越好，表示说功夫越深。It's possible we may have this impression. Also, it's possible for those of you who have seen Tai Chi, Tai Ji, but just seen a little bit, don't have much experience. What does Tai Chi look like? Does Tai Chi look like a martial art when you first see it? When you first see it, if you see people doing it in the park, or here, we have Tai Chi class, maybe when you first see it, it's kind of like, oh, very relaxing, very soothing movements, slow. You don't know what they're doing, though. They're just kind of moving through the air. That's what it looks like. And it may look like dancing. And Tai Chi is a form of dance. We may think that. And a lot of the popular magazines that show Tai Chi practitioners, you just see one person kind of moving and dancing. It's possible our impression of Tai Chi is that it's a kind of dance or just relaxing, kind of like a kind of yoga or a relaxing exercise. It's possible we may have this impression.
看过太极的应该都有嘛，太极现在很多人都在练，在公园里面，早上大概会看到很多人在练太极，这边也有太极的课程。那如果是说对太极没有很深入的体验或者是研究，一看可能看起来就是有人在做什么。 不晓得，在跳舞，跳舞跳来跳去啊，动作很柔软，看起来很放松，很安定，有人就是在跳舞。那通常只看到一个人在一个范围里面在动来动去啊，不晓得在做什么，就是好像在跳舞的样子。那可能对太极有这样子的印象，可能不认为太极是一种武功。 But today I'd like to talk about deeper meaning of martial arts, to look at it in a different way. If you do have this previous idea of martial arts as just being violence, or you know, some martial arts just being like dancing, hopefully you'll have a different perspective and see how martial arts has a deeper meaning in relation to combat, and also a deeper meaning in relation to Chan practice. So I'll continue to talk about that. 所以呢，大家的印象中可能对武功有这些想法，武功不是暴力的一些行为，或者是男子气概的一种心态，就是一种。 好像跳舞，有的武功，太极，其他的叫做内功，好像就是在跳舞，不晓得。那如果有这样子的印象，听完今天的开示，可能会有不同的一个认知。今天我会讲到武功比较深一点的意思，讲到太极，还有武功。 比较深的意思，还有武功跟禅修有什么关系啊？ So, with regards to the tradition of Chan Buddhism, the history of Chan, we just mentioned earlier Shaolin Temple, yeah? Shaolin Temple, almost everyone has encountered it through TV, through the movies or magazines, yeah? And supposedly the history is what? That at Shaolin Temple, many, many centuries ago, around what, 6th century, is it? 500 something, 530. History is not so clear. But on the 6th century, that Bodhidharma, the common idea that Bodhidharma, the first patriarch of the Chan school, seems that the history is that he invented Shaolin Kung Fu. Some of you are shaking your head. Right? Sometimes we hear that. Bodhidharma came from India and he brought Shaolin Kung Fu, or he brought Kung Fu with him. This Buddhist monk somehow brought Chinese Kung Fu. The history is not so clear, but we can say that what Bodhidharma brought to the Shaolin Temple, not necessarily martial arts, but he brought a system of training the body and mind in a more balanced way, primarily by incorporating yoga techniques into the regimen for monastics. So at the time, the monastics were very busy doing what? Studying, reading sutras, copying sutras, sitting in meditation, probably more time doing scholastic work, and their bodies became unhealthy. They were not doing enough exercise, not enough movement. So what Bodhidharma brought was this body training to help them regulate their body. And at the same time, you could use it as a training for the mind. So this is one part of the history of how martial arts is related to the Chan tradition. It began as yogic or yoga training within Chan temples. Later, it evolved and adapted this martial quality. But we won't get too much into the history of that. So, 讲到武功跟我们禅宗的关系是什么？那我们都知道少林寺嘛，对不对？看电影看到少林寺的和尚在练功，或是看到杂志，杂志里面也有很多这些，现在的少林寺也在推广他们的功夫，也推广佛法。那在这个历史里面的故事，或是 legend，可能会听到说菩提达摩，达摩就是我们禅宗的谁呀？初祖，就是第一位禅宗的祖师，我们把他认为是初祖。然后很多故事里面说，他从印度到中国之后。等到他到了少林寺的时候，好像他发明中国功夫，有的故事是这样子啊，好像从印度把一些功夫带到少林寺，也可以说他带了功夫，但是也不见得是武功，不见得是用来对打，应该是那时候他看到少林寺的一些出家人的情况。看他们看书很多，打坐的时间很长，但是他们的身体因为这些静态的活动太多，他们的身体越来越衰弱，怎么办呢？所以他把瑜伽的一些运动教给他们，把这些瑜伽放在他们的平常作息里面，让他们的身体啊身心更健康。至于说武功的部分，在少林寺有这个瑜伽的训练之后，才渐渐的这些少林寺的和尚啊，或是附近的人，把瑜伽的那一套的动作，把它跟武功并在一起。或是发展在一起。So this is, we're all familiar with these stories of Shaolin Temple and its relationship of having martial arts as well as Buddhism and Chan practice all developing together. And did you know that our founder, Chan Master Sheng Yan, also learned Kung Fu, martial arts? Did you know that? Some didn't know that, yeah? If you read his autobiography, it should be in there. At when he was very young, a young novice at Langshan. Yeah? Where is Langshan? Jiangsu, yeah? He actually told me once, he was downstairs after dinner, and usually when Shifu was in the States, he had so much time to interact with people on a regular basis. So if you came to CMC and you had medicine meal, which was supper, you may have a chance to chat with Shifu. Yeah? And so I was here as a postulant before I became a monk for a few months. So I had quite a few chances just to be in this space and have a chat with Shifu about different things. And actually, we were looking through some closets in the basement, and we found these wooden swords. I think David brought the wooden swords or was using them for Tai Chi class, yeah? Maybe they're still there. Maybe you could take a look later. And I found this wooden sword in the closet. And I thought, wow, CMC has swords? You know, it was wood, but still, you know, something about a sword. Ah, great. And I took a look at it, and Shifu said, hey, let me see that. Do you know I know how to use this? I thought, huh? You know how to use a sword? He said, yeah, I learned. When I was a young monk, I learned at Langshan. You want to see? I said, sure. So Shifu pointed the sword at me. And he did like this. He did this move which sort of looked like he learned Kung Fu, but looked like he didn't learn too much. Kind of like a half and half Kung Fu move. And he went, huh! You know, pretend to jab me with the sword. And but he said at Langshan, they trained the monks in basic Tai Chi and actually even sword forms for as part of their physical training, part of their education. So not only Shaolin Temple, but other monastic institutes throughout Far East still teach their monastics martial arts.至于我们的创办人圣严师父，你们知道他会功夫吗？他会一点功夫，武功。有一次在地下室，我们用钥匙以后，就是用晚餐以后，经常有时间跟师父互动，因为他在美国的时候，不是非常忙。 多半在写书，在楼上写书，所以他有空的时候就会在跟大家在一起互动互动，讲一些故事啊。有一天我在地下室的柜子里面发现到一些木头做的剑，就像太极剑那种直直的，应该是叫做剑嘛哈，刀是比较 弯曲的是剑，一把木头做的剑。我发现之后觉得哇，酷哦，想玩一玩呢。虽然是木头啊，就觉得哇，这个东西啊，是一把剑，玩一玩呢。那师傅在旁边看，他说：“哎，你给我看看，我教你怎么用。”我说：“你会用吗？”他说：“会啊，给我，给你看。”他。 叫做什么？打招吗？是这样子讲吗？招式啊，出招啊，thank you。他出招啊，用个好像叫做，然后是半懂半不懂的一个出招的动作，就呼，假装他在用那把剑去，点我，然后呢？ 他就说明说他在狼山的时候，一个小沙弥受过一些武功的训练，他也说不只是狼山，好几个中国的寺院或者是在这个叫做远东那边的寺院呢，或者是佛学院，都会教这些出家人武功，甚至于怎么用 剑。所以不只是少林寺啊，汉传佛教里面的传统，也包括这个武功的训练。Also, this tradition is being continued to this day. Did you know that every single monastic in this building knows Kung Fu? Even the Fashi in the back. We all know Kung Fu. Did you know that? Probably not, because they wouldn't just, you know, all of a sudden jump out and show you. But actually, in our monastic education at Sangha University, all the monastics take classes in Tai Chi. Maybe we're not so good, we're not so accomplished, but we've learned before. And it's the same principle that within this Chan tradition, Shifu wanted to keep have an exercise which the monastics could use at the same time to keep the body healthy, as well as have it be a training for the mind. And so this continues. Now, we men, this, 出家人练习武功的这个传统, 现在还有, 你知道吗? 那我们的这个东初禅寺的每一位法师, 都会武功, 你相信吗? 要相信, 不要去, 不要去, 挑战他们了, 但是呢, 他们都学过，因为我们在受出家的教育的时候，在僧伽大学，我们都上过太极拳课，上了多少年？好像每个人要三年，对不对？学了三年，不一定我们都很认真的学，不一定都非常会，但是大概可以出一个招，出两个招。 我们都练过，那原则上我们曾经大学还有师父的一个想法，<咳>是希望我们出家人不只是练心，而是要照顾身体，那利用武功这个很好的运动，还有不只是身体的运动，武功或是太极拳，特别是太极拳，可以用来练身体。 也用来练心，所以这个传统还是持续的。Also, how many have read teachings of the Tiantai school? Tiantai is Master Zhizhe. Within the teachings of Master Zhizhe, he talks about what's called the five harmonizations. I heard this before. Five harmonizations, including harmonizing one's lifestyle, which is diet, followed by sleep, followed by the body, followed by what? Breath and mind. Harmonizing these five things: diet, sleep, body, breath, mind. It's not just a teaching on, you know, only going directly to the mind and forgetting everything else, just training the mind, but rather having a holistic training of one's lifestyle, including body, breathing, and mind. So this aspect of harmonizing the body, we can look at martial arts as being a training which can harmonize the body, breath, and mind. Because essentially, this exercise is making the body healthy, so that the practitioner can have a healthy body with good breathing or a healthy respiratory system, so that in meditation they're able to sustain this clarity of mind and their body is able to sit longer. If a person's body is in terrible shape and you ask them to sit in meditation, you know, maybe 2 minutes, 5 minutes, this part hurts, that part hurts, you can't breathe right, you can't sit straight, very difficult to cultivate meditative absorption or samadhi. So this training of martial arts can be seen as part of these five harmonizations. 还有呢, 我们的汉传佛教里面有一个天台宗, 听过吗? 天台宗, 天台宗的里面的一位大禅师, 他叫做智者, 智者禅师写了什么？有一部很好像小止观，对不对？那在小止观里面，他谈到调五事，调整五种事情事项。那这五个事情是主要是说调整你的生活，还有调整你的身心。 生活的部分是调两个，一个是调什么？
调饮食，还有调睡眠，再来调身体，再来什么？调呼吸，调息，再来最后调心。他没有说心最重要，其他的不管了，我直接调心。他是比较用一个holistic 整体性去学习禅修，所以要照顾你的生活，也要照顾你的身体，也照顾你的呼吸，才能够真正的深入调整你的心。那例如说你打坐，要一个人打坐，如果他的身体的状况很坏啊，一打坐两分钟三分钟啊，这里痛，这里酸，这里麻，这边没有感觉，睡着啊，没有办法打坐很久，也没有办法保持一个清楚的心。所以身体要练禅定，你的身体要好一点，所以调整身体是很重要。用武功可以达到调和身心身呼吸还有心的一个目标。And also, if we look at this practice itself of cultivating martial arts, of course we know that we can train our body, yeah? If we train in martial arts, the body becomes healthy. This is very important to have a healthy, we call this a tool for the path in Buddhist terminology. The body is our tool. So we make our body healthy, train it, become strong. Of course, we know that if our martial arts is excellent, we can defend our body, right? Protect ourselves against harm. And this is one aspect. But if we look a little closer, the part that I'd like to focus on today is the using the training of the body to cultivate one's character, to train one's mind. Now, 练武功，我们都知道，我们练习之后，我们的身体会健康，呼吸会健康，这个我们都知道。而且呢，练武功练得很好，可以什么防身，所以有别人来想要伤害我们，我们可以防身，或者是护身，有人来伤害别人，我们也可以照顾他们，帮忙他们，不要让他们受到伤害。但是呢，我想今天谈到的部分比较细腻的谈，就是怎么样子的用武功，一边练身体，一边练习我们的心，或者是叫做提升我们的品质啊，对不对？怎么样用武功来提升人的品质。 However, or how many people have heard of the process of practice described by our founder Shifu as being a process of self-cultivation, four steps of self-cultivation? Have you heard this before? In some contexts, in terms of the meditation class, it's a different way of describing the stages of process, or the stages of chan practice. He also used four steps to describe self-cultivation, the process of improving one's character. The first one is called self-knowledge. The second one, self-affirmation. Heard this before? The third one, self-growth, or maturing of the self. And the last one, what's the last one? The dissolution, or the dissolving of the self. This is the four stages of self-cultivation as mapped out by Shifu. And I'd like to talk about how martial arts can lead us through these stages of self-cultivation. 那我们创办人三元师父讲禅修的过程，禅修的层次，或者是讲修行的层次，讲到自我的修行有四个层次，有没有听过？跟禅修的层次的说明稍微不太一样，但是内容大致上一样。第一个层次叫做认识自我，第二个层次叫做什么？自我肯定。第三个就是自我成长，最后是什么？自我的消融，对不对？消融。那这四个层次是形容在修行的过程里面的大概的一个过程。我今天用我在用武功跟禅修的结合来解释这种修行的层次。So this first stage of self-knowledge, what does that refer to? How can we use martial arts to know ourselves? Well, for those of you who practice martial arts especially, you may find out that it's not that easy. Actually, 功夫, the meaning of 功夫 is what? Can be translated as hard work. Yeah? And what's probably the first thing in traditional 功夫 or 武功 martial arts schools, the first thing you're taught is probably to stand in a horse stance for a half an hour straight. Yeah? And in some schools, the teacher wouldn't teach you anything until you, every class, stood in horse stance for 3 months, or maybe more. Testing the students what? Testing the students' resolve, determination, patience. Everybody else is practicing all this really cool, jumping around and throwing swords, and there you are, waiting in the horse stance, watching how everybody else has fun. Yeah? That's part of the training. Not easy. You know, with that attitude of wanting to learn, you just have to sit there, horse stance. Mentally, it's hard work. Physically, have you ever tried that? Maybe we should listen to Dharma talks in horse stance. It's harder to fall asleep, yeah? So if you feel a little bit drowsy, feel free at any time during this Dharma talk to stand up and do your horse stance. Maybe there's space in the back. You can stand in the back. Horse stance for 5 minutes. It's not easy. Yeah? You do it for 5 minutes and your whole body may be covered with sweat. And, you know, your limbs may be trembling. So 30 minutes, it's not easy. So with this first stage, we can call it, of self-knowledge, we start to see that when we embark on this practice, which is quite difficult and which needs a lot of determination and endurance, we may start to see our weaknesses, start to see our complaining state of mind. I'm still here in horse stance. It's been 2 months. He didn't show me anything. What kind of martial arts is this? I'm getting out of here. We'll go down the road to the other place. You do horse stance for a day, then they teach you how to use swords. You know, rather go there. So we may find that in embarking in this path and enduring the training, we start to learn about ourselves and our reactions, our attitudes. We could say this is part of the self-knowledge. 那第一个层次叫做认识自我。那怎么样子从练武功认识自我呢？你想一想，你想要跟一位师父啊学功夫，他教你的第一个东西大概是什么？蹲马步，要站在那边很久，就是站着，一直站着。那有的是要是蹲还是顿呢？蹲，要蹲马步，蹲三个月，蹲半年，才会教你一些比较基本的功夫，打拳啊，踢脚啊，什么叫做 stance, 不同的
可能3个月或是半年,
那你这样子的, 一个练习, 心理上会怎么样?
要3个月的马步,
你的心一定要有一种决心, 或是恒心, 能够接受这样子的训练呢, 不容易。 蹲马步啊, 我们坐椅子的时候, 可能没有办法想象, 你站起来试试看, 蹲马步啊, 要弯弯, 那个膝盖要弯, 弯低一点, 试试看, 不是半个钟头, 5分钟, 可能全身发抖, 然后全身冒汗, 站在那边, 很辛苦啊, 5分钟, 每天半个钟头, 3个月, 半年, 才会学其他的一些比较有趣的东西, 怎么样用剑啊, 用什么枪啊, 用什么东西啊。 所以, 一开始练习武功, 学会的就是要有耐心, 恒心, 也认识自我, 我们会发现, 我们没有耐心, 很多的一些烦恼会出现啊, 啊怎么会3个月还在这边站着不动啊, 同学已经练了很有趣的东西啊, 哇, 跳来跳去啊, 我想练啊, 不行啊, 这个我蹲不下去啊, 我要离开, 心理上可能会有这些反应啊, 不耐烦。
Also, another way of learning about ourselves is we learn our fears, more about our fears and insecurities. In college, I practiced a bit of martial arts, and my teacher was quite amazing, actually. He was an amazing athlete, amazing acrobat as well, gymnastics, and he just seemed to be a fearless person, a very kind person, but seemed to be fearless, and his martial technique was excellent. And the reason he got that way is because he was trained very hard. Trained until he cried, and then kept training. Or trained until he thought he couldn't train anymore, and his teacher just kept pushing him. So he'd use similar techniques with us, and he would push us. I don't think he pushed us as hard as his teacher pushed him. If he did, he'd probably have no students. But he would push us. You know, we'd do things like walking downstairs on our hands, which is not so bad. That's not so bad. You know, your feet are also on the ground, but you just have to run up the stairs and then walk down the stairs on your feet. Run up the stairs and walk down the stairs on your feet. And if you fell, which happened, you'd fall and maybe hit your head. There's a carpet, so it wasn't so bad. But still, that training was quite difficult. One time, though, or a few times, he would take us to a park. It's a park down the road. And in this park was, you know, swing sets and all these different things, jungle gyms, all these different toys. But they were, you know, big sets of, I don't know what you call them. Swing sets, jungle gyms. And when we first got there, I thought, what's he doing? We're going to go play in the park now or something? Do a few kicks and go play on the swings? And he jumped up on top of the swing set, climbed up to the very top, the top of the swing set. You know, the top of the swing set, there's just a bar which was about this wide. Yeah? And it was, we had tires hanging from the bottom. It was a kind of tire swing set. So it had to be thicker than your usual one, but still only about this thick. He jumped up on top, walked right across, walked back, jumped out and said, okay, everyone, let's go. Do it. And I was the first person. And I swallowed, looked at the swing set, reluctantly jumped up to part way, climbed up the rest of the way, and I got to the top of the swing set and I thought, I could do this. Looked easy. He did it. And I stepped over to the top bar of the swing set, looked down just a little bit, thought, oh. I thought, I thought again, and my legs started to shake. It wasn't very high. It wasn't like a 30-foot swing set, maybe 10 feet or 12 feet.
And below was, it wasn't concrete, it was pebbles. Nowadays, swing sets have these little pebbles at the bottom. So if you fall, okay, you could break your arm, you could break your leg, but you probably won't hit your head and die. But if you fall, it wouldn't be fun, especially if you slip and somehow, yeah. So I got up there and my legs were shaking. My whole body started shaking. And I took a step and I said, I can do this. I can do this. Took another step, shaking. I can do this. I can do this. One more step. Okay, you first. And I asked, my classmates, you guys go first. I'll watch. Couldn't do it. I couldn't walk out onto the top because I felt it's too slippery. If I slip, I'll fall. If I slip, I'll fall. If I slip, I'll fall. And all I thought about was getting hurt. And a second later, like this 10-year-old kid, jumps in front of us and says, oh, I can do this. This is easy. He walks out. He comes back and he jumps down like nothing happened. And I thought, oh, just been showed up by this 10-year-old kid. And so during that experience, it was an opportunity to be faced with fear, complete fear. It was out of control. I wasn't that afraid in a long time. My whole body was shaking. And so this is part of knowing the self and part of this martial training, pushing you to the limit so you discover your fears.
那在练武功的时候，认识自我，我们也会认识到我们的弱点，我们的一些恐惧，因为教我们武功的老师会push我们，会怎么讲，推吗？鼓励我们，或是推我们，或者是怎么讲，逼迫。 会逼我们去超越我们的恐惧，或者是超越我们的一些弱点。那有一次，在大学的时候，我学过武功，那我的老师很厉害，一方面他的身体强壮，另一方面他会做一些跳啊，跳得很厉害，就像 gymnastics。 那种奥运的体操啊，很厉害，又是他的武功很好，为什么好呢？因为他的老师就逼迫他，就勉强他要练习，要继续练习，遇到困难，遇到恐惧，继续练习，不停，然后练到哭，练到受伤，继续练。 所以他会用这种方式来训练我们。不过他训练我们比他的老师训练他大概没有那么严格。但是有一天他带我们去一个公园，一个小孩子玩的地方，有一个 swing set， 怎么讲？秋千。 还有其他的一些玩具，我一看就觉得奇怪，带我们来这边做什么？那他一下子就跳上那个秋千上面去啊，秋千上面有一个铁的什么东西啊，篮子啊，怎么讲啊？铁的一个 bar。 栏杆就是一个栏杆，它在栏杆上面走来走去，就是大概是这么宽，小小的，而且是大概多少尺，10尺，12尺高。我一看，觉得哇，不错，那他就说好，你来，我是第一个，好上去，我可以啊。 我不怕，然后一上去，一看下去，这个腿啊，整个身体发抖啊，觉得快不行，走不过去，整个人都是因为恐惧啊，就不能动啊，我的脚一踏出去啊，就
发抖，就开始滑，就不敢走啊。好，说好，同学，你们先，我休息一下，你们先。然后没有多久，一个十岁的小孩子跳上来，哦，这个容易啊，我来。然后一下子走来走去，走回来，好像没有什么事情。他完全不怕，而且走得很轻松。我在上面都是在想，哇，掉下来会怎么办？掉下来会怎么样？如果掉下来，会不会死啊？都是这些念头啊，不敢走。所以练武功的这个认识自我的部分，就是说我们在练习的过程一定会遇到一些内心的恐惧，内心的不平，算是了解自己的烦恼的一部分。After that, after we know ourselves, or through this process of knowing ourselves, comes this second stage, which is self-affirmation, affirming ourselves, which is basically gaining confidence in ourselves. We know what our weaknesses are. We also know what our strengths are through this process of training. And so we can strengthen our strengths, and we can also overcome our weaknesses.And through this, we discipline ourselves and we have confidence. We gain confidence. Maybe in the beginning, we're deathly afraid to walk across the bar. But after a few times, walk a little bit further, maybe come back. Walk a little bit further, then come back. And then maybe one day we'll find out that, oh, actually, I can do this. There's no need to be afraid. Walk across with confidence.那这个自我的修行的层次里面，第一个认识自我，整个修行的练武功的过程可以认识自我。接下来我们怎么样肯定自我？肯定自我是认识自己的缺点、自己的优点之后，用什么方法来改进、改变？那自己的优点可以更加强，自己的弱点可以怎么样去改善、改进？例如说，要走过这个栏杆，一开始可能没有办法，不敢走。那练习几次就会发现，没有问题，可以啊，我相信自己啊，我相信我可以做，就能够走过去啊。And, well...I didn't do that practice very much afterwards. I didn't get much of a chance. But these days, we still have chances. When we take hikes in the woods at DDRC, wherever there's a tree that fell over the river, great, here's my chance. And I'll go and walk across it and practice. And if you come to DDRC, you can come and play. Come and practice your I guess this is a, qing gong. Training and agility. 那在大学，没有很多机会去练习那个栏杆，走栏杆的功夫。但是现在在香港道场还有很多机会。每次我们去爬山，如果说看到河边或是河流有一棵树倒下来，然后你可以就是走过去啊。我一定会走，一定会练习，练习什么轻功，也就是也是练习怎么样放下恐惧的心而去做这个动作。After we are affirming ourselves, or through this process of knowing ourselves and affirming ourselves, we'll find that we start to really grow and mature.And grow and mature in what way? We start to develop a confidence which is not based on telling ourselves that we can or can't do something. We don't necessarily need to say, I can do this. We start to mature in a way that our state of mind becomes so calm and clear that naturally there's confidence. Naturally, fear is absent.In terms of Chan practice, we would call this state of mind a unified mind.
Have you heard of this? Unified mind, referring to the fact that you're completely aware of your body, state of your body, even completely aware of the state of the environment. But in your mind, you make no discriminations about what you experience. You don't think that, oh, I feel this way. Oh, my body's tired. Or, oh, look at that tree. Wow, it's so huge. Or it's so thin. Or, can I do this? Yes, I can. Maybe I can't. Yes, I can. I can do this. Or, oh, look at this person who's approaching. Wow, it looks like they have great skill in martial arts. Not sure if I can win. Not sure if I can compete with them. This kind of mindset, where there's some confidence, there's also some doubt. It's based on discrimination, seeing things as being big or small, skilled or not skilled, safe or unsafe. And so our mind has these movements, agitations in it. When we get to the point of really maturing in the practice, these discriminations are gone. Whatever is in front of us, we just see it as it is. However we feel, whatever the experience of the body is, we're completely aware of it, but there's no judgments, there's no hesitation, there's no doubting, there's no need to tell ourselves that I can or I can't. This is what we call the maturation or the growth of the self, self-growth, where one's mind, body, and environment are unified. Now, 第三个层次, 当我们认识自我, 继续认识自我, 那同时肯定自我, 给自己, 鼓励吧, 然后呢, 相信自己有一些能力, 也知道自己有一些弱点, 当我们继续练习的时候, 我们的心会更稳, 更清楚, 更安定, 还有清楚, 清楚到, 这些分别都没有，一般的分别心没有，那叫做统一心，有没有听过？统一心的意思就是说，心中遇到什么不会起一些计较或者是形容，比如说你要走栏杆，或是走一棵倒下来的树，你不会想哇。 这棵树很大，啊，但是呢，窄窄的，走得过去吗？我相信我可以啊，但是呢，好像很滑，不行，还是下次等它干了以后再走。能不能走啊？我相信我可以走啊。这些分别心都不会有。我是看到对方对手，一看可能会认为啊，这个人呢，肌肉很大。 很强壮啊，好像功夫蛮好的。这个能赢吗？打得过他吗？好像不确定啊。啊，相信我可以啊。这些念头都没有，都不会起。在同一心的时候，你看到什么就是什么，你体验什么就是什么。身体的感觉你知道，但是不会有什么反应。 然后看到环境的状况，看得清清楚楚，但是呢，不会有那些任何的计较或怀疑，就是该做什么就会做，心是一片安定，还有清净，这个就叫做真正的自我成长。So, with this kind of state of mind, we find that with martial arts practice, we find this true state of harmony of body and mind, and lightness of body and mind. The burden of these discriminating thoughts has been lifted, and the body feels light and agile. And when it's time to respond to something, we respond. But we just feel this natural sense of confidence and this natural sense of well-being. And we see that with this kind of ability, we can harmonize with others, harmonize even with aggression or an attack. Part of the practice is harmonizing with our own mental state, fears, And then we can extend to harmonizing with others, even if it's our attacker or an aggressor. And we know that some martial arts, they emphasize the principle of harmonizing. Anybody heard of Aikido? Aikido, Chinese is He Qi Dao, which if you look at it literally, it means the way of harmonization, harmonizing with energy, or just harmonization in general. And their principle is that when they respond to someone, someone throws a punch, someone throws a kick, they try to respond in a way which minimizes the damage to both people. If possible, not to harm the other person at all, but to neutralize the aggression. So at this point, one neutralizes one's own internal conflicts, and you can also neutralize this aggression or this force coming from outside. And if also we look at Tai Chi, the principle is the same, yeah? Tai Chi is not about someone moves and all of a sudden we just beat them down, yeah? You also respond in a way which can be gentle, can be forceful, but the purpose is to harmonize and diffuse the aggression.
那这种自我的成长, 的地步, 当我们的心非常的安定, 清楚, 自然的我们会有信心, 而且自然的我们整个身心的状况是和谐的。 自己对自己内心的烦恼已经转化很大的一部分, 所以内心会觉得很和谐。 那当对方或者是外在的压力, 或者是外在的一个攻击来的时候, 我们会怎么办? 也能够化解它, 化解这种压力或者是攻击成和谐。 那有一些, 武功的传统, 像和气道, 它的原则就是和谐。 原则就是由外来的压力, 外来的攻击, 你要化解它, 那化解的时候, 自己还有对方, 都是尽量让, 两个都没有受到伤害。 太极拳也有这样子的原则, 太极拳是有对方来, 或者是有一种攻击来的时候, 用适当的力量去化解它, 不一定要用很暴力的, 很, 激烈的动作去对应, 只可以用柔软的, 也可以用比较硬的动作来对应, 但是它的原则也是能够化解, 一种暴力为和谐。 接下来还有什么程度呢? 功夫的程度。 English. What's the next level? This almost sounds like, how could you go further? Already you have this harmony of body and mind and this ability to transform aggression into harmony. The next stage or the next quality of this uplifting of our character is this dissolving of the self. How do we dissolve ourselves? Is it like putting ourselves in a cup of water? Like, what are those things? Alka-Seltzers? A whole person, after they cultivate their kung fu, they get to a certain point where their whole body is just energy, and then it just poof, dissolves like an Alka-Seltzer through the universe. And that's when they become truly one with everything. Human Alka-Seltzer. Actually, that's not what that means. The dissolving of the self, we can say, is the dissolving of, complete dissolving of vexation. Kind of like an Alka-Seltzer. In the beginning, you just have this sense of complete stability, harmony. But with that sense of harmony and stability, there's also this sense of self. What's the big deal if we have a sense of self? Does that mean, we're bad? Is self bad? Or what is self? What is that sense of self?
with this unification of body and mind, or this great harmony, there is harmony, there is ease, but there is also arrogance. Also this clinging to harmony, freedom, ease. And a great potential for either arrogance, or when that state changes, when we leave the arena of our martial practice, most likely our discriminating mind will come back. We'll see things as big and small, good and bad, and we'll have problems. We'll be filled with ideas of what's good for us, what's bad for us. So it's not complete, it's not a finished practice without this dissolving of the self, which is the dissolving of discrimination and self-centeredness, dissolving of arrogance altogether. And with that, when we leave the confines of our martial training arena, we'll be much less subject to the vexations of discriminating what's good, what's bad, what's good for me, what's bad for me, what I like, what I don't like. If you're completely dissolved the self forever, well, then you're free. You're liberated. And maybe you can fly to work, you know? Not necessarily the case that if you're liberated, you can fly. But if you're liberated, you can learn how to fly. And you could fly to work, fly to temple, fly to anywhere. Very convenient. But you'd be a compassionate, genuinely compassionate person who acts and responds to aggression, to violence, not from this place of self-centeredness, trying to just keep your harmony. I want to be harmonious. But you respond to the needs of others, what they need. Do they need you to be soft? Do they need you to be firm? You act accordingly. And this would be called this dissolution of the self, or the dissolving of the self.接下来有什么程度呢？功夫的程度，我们讲说消融自我。消融自我是什么意思啊？怎么可能比和谐更高、更就近？消融自我怎么消融呢？是不是像消化自我，或者是呢消融啊？ 可以用这样子形容吗? 有一种药, 它叫做Alka-Seltzer, 中文名字我不会。你肚子痛的时候吃, 你放在水里面, 它会嘶,不见了, 就是变成一杯水, 一杯药。消融自我是不是这样子啊? 我们整个身心就像Alka-Seltzer一样, 消融变成不见了, 是变成本来是练成一种 和谐的力量，然后气很足，很和谐，身心都好像快要爆炸的样子。那到你最高的一种功夫，是不是身心就爆炸不见了？你的气跟整个的大的宇宙融合在一起呢？是不是这样子？如果是拍电影这样子，应该会很好看的。 但整个人就噗，但是消融自我不是这个意思，不是身心的爆炸，不是身体的一种死亡，而是烦恼的消融。也可以这样子形容，烦恼就像Alka-Seltzer放到水里面去，不见了。消融自我的意思就是说，从和谐。 一种好像圆满的状态，那么的和谐，那么的安定，那么的清楚，为什么要消融它呢？是不是会变成很枯燥啊，无聊？和谐的里面虽然感觉上是圆满，是那么的美好，好像自己跟自己和谐，自己跟外境和谐，好像没有更就近。 但是呢，和谐里面还有一个问题，还有一个什么问题？就是骄傲的问题，或是 pride
arrogance, 骄傲吗？傲慢可能更好的形容。在和谐的时候可能会认为，哇，我修得不错，我都很和谐，什么外境都不干扰，很和谐，差不多解脱了，我修好了。这种念头，这种感觉，就算是烦恼啊，算不够究竟。然后我们离开练功的一个范围的时候，我们会发现自己的烦恼通通来了，和谐不见了，都是开始分别计较，问题多多，有好有坏，有利害得失的一些挂碍，那这样子就是还不够究竟。那自我的消融就是能够化解自我中心，不会认为我怎么样修得很好，不会认为我很和谐，也能够消融这种最细的执着，我们会发现功夫是到了最高，或者是可以说到了不可说的一个境界。你的心不会执着说我怎么样，或是他怎么样，但是呢还是能够对应，还是能够用最恰当的方式去对应，而不考虑到自己的利害得失，那就叫做真正的慈悲，真正的消融自我的一个境界。 So an example of this, I'd like to use a story from our ancestor master, Master Xu Yun, or Empty Cloud. You heard of him? Do we have a picture of Master Xu Yun here somewhere? I think the second floor, we have a picture of him. He lived to be 120. And supposedly when he was younger, before he really engaged in genuine Buddhist practice, he was cultivating his body, possibly cultivating qigong or martial arts. His kung fu was also excellent. What kind of kung fu? Actually, he didn't even need to use any moves, so to speak. He didn't need to use martial or physical force when he dealt with situations. He used a kind of kung fu, the highest level, or the most advanced, which is, we can say, kung fu of the mind, selfless action. And there's this one story, which you can read in his autobiography, which our library should have, where he was called upon by a governor. This is back in the day, I don't know, I think it was 1913. There was all this turmoil happening in mainland China. And so there was government problems, there was also rebel forces, people fighting everywhere, all this chaos. And he was called upon by a governor to meet with him, to help this governor to figure out how to deal with this situation. Along the way, he was found out by the rebels and actually beaten. He was hit by one of the rebels. Now, the rebels, they found this document on him and they hit him. What was his response? Did he like like flip and then do some move and poof, you know, smash the rebel? Not at all. He was hit. He got punched. He said the rebel struck him. And he said, what are you hitting me for? It's not really useful. It's not useful beating me up. I'm actually here to help you. And the rebel was kind of stunned by that. And, you know, eventually, they were brought Master Xu Yun to the rebel leader, or a couple of these leaders who were quite fierce people, and they knew that he was somehow in connection with the governor, so they were ready to really, you know, give this monk a good beating. But eventually, Master Xu Yun was able to negotiate with them, just by talking with them, and showing them that, well,
We don't have to look at things in terms of good and bad in such a fixed way. He said something like, when he was brought to the rebel leader, the leader said, "Hey, you're in connection with this governor. This governor is a bad guy. This governor is a terrible person that makes you terrible." What was Master Xuyun's response? "It's hard to say who's good and who's bad." The leader was quite stunned by that. He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Good people, bad people." "Well, if you do good things, you're a good person, right? If you do bad things, at that moment you're a bad person." So talking about good and bad, actually everyone has the potential to be either good or bad. And the rebel leader was quite stunned and he said, "So what should I do?" He actually started to be influenced and moved by Master Xuyun's teaching. Eventually, Master Xuyun convinced the two parties to cease the conflict, to call for peace. Nobody had to surrender. Nobody had to give up anything that they didn't want to give up, but he convinced them to call for peace, the rebels as well as the government official. And I read the story and I thought, I was actually just so moved because Master Xuyun didn't react at all with violence. And he didn't react at all with anger. "What are you hitting me for? I'm a monk. I'm a master." He didn't react like that at all. But he said, "You know, hitting me is not really useful." And he began to use an appropriate way to communicate with these people to dissolve their aggression, dissolve their years of conflict with his interaction. This is kung fu. This is the highest level of kung fu. Selfless action. 讲一个故事，就是我们法古宗的祖师之一。 他叫虚云老和尚，我们楼上禅堂有他的法相，他的相片。那有一次在什么时候，1913年好像左右，在中国大陆有很多的社会的乱象或者是暴力的事情，政府跟一些Rebel 怎么讲？ 叛军， 叛军跟政府都有很长时间的一些 冲突。 刚好有一个 政府的官员 邀请虚云老和尚到了市区帮他的忙， 开一些法会， 然后帮他给他一些指导。 在路途中， 虚云老和尚跟他的一位弟子，他们用走的，被叛军发现，叛军的一个人发现他虚云老和尚身上的一些文件，发现他跟政府有一个什么关系，或是要有一个什么联系，叛军就很生气，就打他一拳。虚云老和尚怎么反应？ 他说，你不需要打我，打我没有用，我是来帮助你们。那这个叛军把他带回这个leader那边去，老板那边去。一开始这些叛军都想要伤害虚云老和尚，因为他算是他们的敌人，跟政府有关系就是敌人。叛军的 叫什么手啊， leader， 首领，就跟虚老说，你跟这个人有关系啊，这个人是坏人，你也是坏人。那虚云老和尚怎么讲？他说，好坏很难讲，谁好谁坏。叛军说，什么意思啊？那虚云老和尚说，你做好事的时候，你就是一个好人。
做坏事的时候，你就是一个坏人。这个人性啊，很难说哪一个部分是好，或是能不能说全部是好，全部是坏啊。潘君就有一点惊讶，说不出来。他说这样子啊，那怎么办？怎么处理这个问题？后来虚云老和尚跟这个潘君就说服他要放弃，不要继续搞乱，不要继续打架，也没有说要投降，投降吗？ Surrender 不需要，而且让叛军跟政府有一个和平的共识，就是说让两边不要继续打，不要继续搞乱，不要继续让社会受到那么多的伤害。那么看这个故事以后就觉得很感动。那虚云老和尚的第一个反应不是说啊，你打我做什么？我是和尚啊，我又很高明啊，我又开悟了，打我做什么？没有啊，他第一个反应就是啊，打我其实没有用啊，我来帮助你们了。那接下来能够用很恰当的语言，恰当的互动来感动还有感化这些人，让两边和谐，这样子就叫做最高的功夫。不用身体去对打，用他的心，用他的完全没有自我中心的慈悲来感化人，把冲突这种暴力冲突的状况改成和谐的。So, how do we practice this? How do we achieve this level of kung fu, this level of cultivation? Well, first, I recommend you can come to CMC every Thursday, is it? Tai Chi class. Is it Thursday? Every Thursday, we have Tai Chi class. And by learning Tai Chi, which we call Tai Chi moving meditation, we use it as a means to cultivate this compassion. Of course, it starts with movements. It starts with martial applications. You need to know the meaning of the movement. You can make your body healthy. You can learn how to defend yourself, defend others. But you also go through this whole process of self-knowledge and self-affirmation, self-maturation, and someday self-dissolution, learning to genuinely drop the selfishness and learn how to be a compassionate person. You can do that by engaging in the Tai Chi practice here, which is a combination of the principles of the martial art, right, with the principles of Chan practice. So this is an excellent way to begin your journey or to continue your journey. 那这种最高的功夫怎么练呢？怎么达到最高的慈悲权的程度？可以从这边来这边参与太极拳课开始。那这边的太极拳课是我们 David 教的，教的非常好，很多年。这个太极拳的课程是从练身还有熟悉太极拳的动作开始，要熟悉动作，要知道动作的用意，也要知道怎么样去运用太极的这些招式。但是在练习这种功夫的过程，一定会练心，一定会经过这种自我的认识，自我的肯定，自我的成长，到最后总会有一天自我的消融，能够真正的体会到而且运用慈悲在我们的生活上。我们可以从练太极拳开始， 那来这边练太极拳的不同的地方就是不只是一般的太极拳，而是把太极拳跟禅修的观念还有方法同时结合。So I think our time is about up. Did you learn any kung fu today? Well, we learned about kung fu today, yeah? In the future, you have the opportunity to practice. And in the future, of course, welcome to do Chan retreats, where it is delving deeper into this process of self-cultivation, self-dissolution. So also welcome to DDRC, of course, to do this Chan, martial art of Chan. 所以呢，时间差不多。今天有没有学到功夫？有学到一点点哈，有听到功夫是怎么样？但是要实际的练，可以在这边开始。也欢迎到我们香港道场参与禅修的课程，也练习一下我们这个新的功夫，禅修的功夫。希望大家能够总有一天能够达到最高的慈悲智慧圆满的功夫。So I wish that all of you engage in the practice, take up the practice, and eventually one day reach this highest level of kung fu, this level of compassion and wisdom.